Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoastEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're into the cool Friday the 13th franchise movies, or just more than that, or just cool actresses, we got my dear friend Melanie Kinneman coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is on www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our lovely guest of the hour, Melanie Kinneman, go to our Facebook page over at Star Roast Entertainment over on Facebook. And also, if you like the music we're going to be playing, or you just like to send some nice maybe fan mail or anything like that, we'd like to read off the air. I like to do that from time to time. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan over on formerly known as Twitter. That's X, T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. And also thanks to the hacker there. It's at Tyrone Tan over on Instagram, at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then there's this new thing called Threads. You could go at Tyrone Tan over on Threads. And then last but not least, if you really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, that's Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. All right, without further ado, normally I have my guest co-host in for, you know, we always rotate guest co-hosts. I want to say thank you to all the awesome guest co-hosts that we've had throughout the seasons. But my frequent guest co-host that's been on lately is actually shooting something right now. So I'm just going to start really quick, and we're going to bring in our guests of the hour. I'm going to do a quick movie review, which I'll normally banter with my guest co-host. So I'll talk about this, and I'm going to bring in my guest and see if she's seen this movie as well. So I'm going to do a quick movie review on this the new movie called Twisters, rated PG-13. Thanks to IMDb, here's a little quick synopsis. Kate Cooper, a retired tornado chaser and a meteorologist, is persuaded to return to Oklahoma to work with a new team and new technologies. Directed by Lee Isaac Chung and starring Daisy Edgar Jones and the awesome Glenn Powell and Anthony Ramos, actually. And then there's Brendan Perea and a plethora of Maura Tierney. A lot of great talent in here a lot of plethora of great talent that are in this movie. I got to check it out. I actually enjoyed it, actually a lot more than I thought. I wasn't sure because sometimes sequels, you never know. I saw the original one when it came out, and here's the sequel to it, so to speak. And I actually really enjoyed it. So I really highly recommend checking out if you can on the big screen. It's a lot of action, a lot more going on than the first one, but they kept the spirit of the first one, in my opinion. And what I'm going to do, I'm also going to bring in my guest of the hour, and we're going to maybe see if she's seen this movie too. So what I'm going to do without further ado, again, so I highly recommend checking out Twisters, and we'll see what she has to say. So I'm just going to bring her in. She is a become a quick fast friend, and she's one of my all-time favorite screen queens. And what I mean by that, I was first introduced to her by a movie called Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. And she starred in that. And then I had an opportunity to meet her and interview her recently at an event. And she's just done such amazing work, and she's such an amazing human being. And, couldn't wait to bring her on. And I want you guys to get to meet her as well. If you have not gotten to meet her through the years, here on the airwaves, I want to bring her in because she's really one of those people that I just felt connected to, in the sense of just, like I said, a beautiful human being inside and out. And I just thought we should bring her in for you guys to check it out. So if you guys have not gotten to see her work, or maybe just want you're there's a lot of you out there that are huge Friday 13th fans, but for those that aren't, I highly recommend checking her out in this Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, and a lot more. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my guest of the hour. She's an actress, but all around great person. Here she is, Melanie Kinnaman. We're going to bring her in. Normally what we normally do, we'll have the guest co-host. We'll try to arrange a way to make the guests of the hour, to make them feel special. Maybe sometimes they'll bring them in on... you know, Millennium Falcons, hang gliders, what do you call it? You know, like snow speeds or whatever it is. And but I think we're going to bring her in a very traditional way. In my eyes, she's kind of like a princess. So we're going to bring her in on kind of like a Cinderella-esque carriage, so to speak. So I think we're going to try to make her feel welcome on that, and then bring her in. And so we're going to open up the hatch right over there, and then bring her in on the Cinderella-esque carriage. And then, you know, with all the fans out there, and then we're just going to bring her in. So here she is. She's an actress and an all-around great, dear person. On the count of three, I'm going to whistle in the horses on the Cinderella's carriage. Here we go. One, two, and three. Uh-oh. Here she comes on the Cinderella-esque carriage. Coming down the street. Waving to all the fans out there. Up there throwing roses at her. Uh-oh. She's stopping for some selfies and some autographs there. The paps taking pictures of her. Here she comes, coming down off the Cinderella's carriage, coming into the studio. Here she is, one of my favorite all-time screen queens, actress, the dears, Melanie Kinnaman. Welcome, Melanie Kinnaman, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, Melanie.
Wow. Wow.
Well.
What an introduction.
We had to go all out for
I
you.
I can't live up to that. No way. What happens when I leave, I go into a pumpkin shell, and I go home to my little hovel.
Well, again, welcome, Melanie Kinnaman, actress extraordinaire, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
No, it's finally great to have. I know we've been kind of communicating for a while and since we met. And then I wanted you to come on and be a guest of the hour. And then before we go into some other lines of things. But I think this is the first and foremost. I had to go. We had to bring you in as a guest first.
Wow. It's great. Thank you so much.
So cool.
I'm very impressed.
Well, I appreciate it. So what we're going to do, before we get into the nitty-gritty, since my guest co-host is off, if you don't mind, we talk about a quick movie review.
Sure.
So by any chance, I quickly talked about this movie called Twisters. By any chance, have you got to check out this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And I enjoyed the action, but after the original, because you mentioned the original, it kind of fell for me, other than the action. Technology was incredible.
Yeah.
The cinematography, the shots, the direction was incredible. But if you've seen the original, you're kind of tainted.
Got it. Yeah.
But those that have not seen the original, it's a big thrill.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it was. I mean, it's been so long since I remember the first one, you know, but I do remember when the first one came out as a big deal. It was like kind of right after like Jurassic Park time, mm-hmm. I believe. And then I just remember the trailers being really exciting. And then I remember over here, we're next near Warner Brothers, they had the big billboard and they had all these like props like thrown against, like, I don't remember
incredible.
That. And it looked like really this, like this exciting thing.
You'd get into a car accident because you'd stop to look at the billboard.
And so I just, but I still remember that. So it's been so long, but then, so I think it was kind of refreshing for, again, I was kind of like, we'll see how this is. But I actually, I not that I forgot about the first one, but I kind of went in with fresh eyes.
Smart.
And then, I actually enjoyed it. I think I do like, Glenn Powell.
Yes.
I thought the lead, Dazer Edgar Jones, did well. And I think everyone did great.
Everyone was great. Like I said, The action was incredible.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, would you highly recommend checking it out in theaters?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
So Melanie Kinnaman also recommends checking out, again, it's Twisters, rated PG-13. Again, it's out there in theaters. It's doing very well. I know there's other movies as well that has been coming out, but we reviewed some as well.
So many.
We recommend checking out Twisters if you have not. And see if you can check it out on the big screen. If you can, I got to hear it in Dolby Stereo.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to check it out. I have some friends actually want to see it in 4D, so I don't know how that that was, because wow, those were the seats shake and all that, yeah, stuff. I saw Godzilla Minus One in 4D, and that was a almost pretty much like a roller coaster ride, because once he starts to, you know, attack the car, like, you're literally shaking and everything. That's kind of cool.
I never did 4D.
Oh, yeah. Those are awesome. So, well, without further ado, again, so check out Twisters. Me and Melanie Kinneman are guests of the hour. Highly recommend Twisters.
Yes.
Okay. So, without, now here we're going to go. By any chance, did your people talk to my people about the next memo? The next memo is the guests of the hour. We start off with a hard-hitting question.
Okay.
And so for the fans that don't know you, but maybe want to get to know you, start off hard, and then we'll go in a little, you know, softer. But the hard-hitting question we start off with is, where are you born and raised?
I'm from a very small town, Holyoke, Massachusetts. And then I moved to New York City because I always, from the time I was about 5 or 6, I wanted to be an actress.
Mm.
And I was a dancer and a singer. So that afforded me the ability to go into New York City, which was a couple hours away, and go in and audition for things and take classes. And so I had an adolescence of learning from the greats. And I started working in the industry around 13 years old.
Wow.
But I started out as a singer-dancer.
Wow, wow.
I did all musical stuff.
So you started off, now, I mean, again, for me, I was introduced to you, again, for all those Friday the 13th
right,
fans. I was introduced to you to Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, but we're going to go to the beginning of you.
Okay.
So from when you started off in the acting scene, first off, who was your inspirations into acting? Was there any actor or actress that inspired you, or maybe someone that you just know, or just something?
You'll be surprised. My idol was Dick Van Dyke.
Really? Okay.
I still adore him because he can do everything.
Yes.
And I was very drawn to live theater, musical theater. So he could do everything. And then he went into film. I love Joel Grey.
Uh-huh.
Julie Andrews. But for theater, that was for theater.
Yeah.
For film, I loved Vanessa Redgrave.
Okay.
And Jane Fonda.
Ah.
Those are my idols.
Now, I had a blessed opportunity of working with Dick Van Dyke, a guest star on a show he did called Diagnosis Murder.
Yes.
And so I had an opportunity to kind of, I got to become friends with his grandsons who were on the show, mm-hmm, with me. And it was kind of interesting because it was like this Romeo and Juliet-esque thing. So I could see, and he was, all he did during this, while we were filming, is tell stories. Oh, like old, like Mary Tyler Moore stories, something,
yeah,
like that. And it was kind of cool. But so that was
fascinating.
That's awesome that you that was your first introduction, or at least someone that inspired you.
Yes.
And then so I'm assuming you grew up with like the Mary Poppins and all that kind of good stuff.
All of that stuff.
Cheetah,
and
Cheetah,
I just thought they were brilliant.
Mm.
Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke together.
Gotcha.
Again,
yeah,
two people that could do anything.
Now, when you wanted to get into the industry, because you said you started fairly young, was this something your like family was supportive of, all your parents? Was it something like they didn't want you to do?
No, they were very supportive. My father died when I was very young, so he was
sorry
only involved in a little bit of it. And my mother kept it going for me. I mean, she was a widow,
mm-hmm,
with three kids. I was the youngest. But she still made time to get us to the lessons and,
yeah, yeah,
take me to New York City if there was a class that I needed to take or an audition or somebody I needed to meet. So I'm very grateful.
Now, did you have any siblings that were into the entertainment industry?
My sister was a dancer, and
okay,
she was on Broadway in many, many shows.
Oh, really?
So she started first because I'm the youngest and I was left at home. They were all in New York at this point. My brother also worked as a magician, if you can believe that.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
But we all started dancing at very young ages, and we were all musical. My brother had a band, so the house had a lot of music.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then, so when you got into it, what was your first, I guess, your first thing that made you feel this is something you want to do for the rest of your life? Or was it not till later?
It was right away. I got to do a show in a musical in Hartford, which wasn't far from where I lived, drive an hour, and I got to be the lead in this musical, and I think I was 13 or something.
Oh, wow.
And that was already the bite, you know, and I thought it was big time because I was from a small town in Hartford,
yeah,
Connecticut. It was like, woo,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, and then I went to Boston. I got to do, I sang,
okay,
in a little musical at Harvard University.
Oh, wow.
So, The Hasty Pudding. So that was a big deal also. But my dream was to always leave Massachusetts and go to New York City, and I did it.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
And so from that point on, it was pretty much, when you came out to, like, Were you thinking of LA at all at any point, or New York was pretty much the thing?
No, New York was it, and I got successful in New York very quickly. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of musicals, and it was an audition across the country, yeah. And I got chosen to be the Dr. Pepper girl.
Oh, what?
And so I danced and sang.
Is that the one where like, I'm a Pepper, she's a Pepper?
No, they're, I did it before that.
Oh, that, before that. Okay.
That came after our campaign. I was the prom queen.
Okay.
And Mary Lou, and it was a 3-day shoot. They shot it in a Broadway house.
Wow.
And it was shot like a Broadway musical. And it was in the days when they did 1-minute commercials.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
a very long commercial. Huge orchestra, everything.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal, and it did get me other stuff. And I'll tell you what, at that age in the 70s, and I made $30,000 on that.
Wow.
I thought I was
That's
a
still a lot. That's still a lot.
Well, then it was big time.
Yeah.
You went from poor to, I got
off
this.
Off from one commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the good days.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. Now they're buyouts and stuff. But in those days, if yeah. you got a national commercial, it ran forever.
Correct.
You did well. So but from that, I got auditions just from that commercial because,
yeah.
again, in the late 70s, TV was a big deal and
Correct.
The commercials were a big deal. So it was like a stepping stone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that also, you know, it helps getting money in order to go fill
yes.
out your dream a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So also here, I'm going off your IMDb. For those that don't know, Saturday Night Live.
I did Saturday Night Live.
What was that like?
One episode. It was such a thrill. I can't tell you. I went to the audition.
Was this during the time of
Belushi? It was all of them.
Wow.
Wow.
So you're the OGs.
It was the last year
wow.
that they were all there. And I don't know if the audience remembers Battle of the Network Stars. That was something in the 70s and 80s.
I got a half and half audience. So yeah. we'll have some of the audience of two, and then we have the new gen. Yeah.
There was a special that they did, I don't know, three or four times a year called Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they would have famous people from television and movies
yeah.
and do all these like Olympic kind of
yeah, yeah.
things. So this was a spoof on that. And John Belushi played Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
And I was Cheryl Ladd. And they had Cheryl Teagues, and they have Charo, and they have all these
yeah.
wild people. But Gilda Radner played I forget who she was.
Like Jacqueline Smith.
Yeah, but okay. they were all in it.
Got it.
And so it was a spoof on Charlie's Angels, and we had a ball.
Oh.
Now, the biggest thrill was we shot it live, and
It was still new then, so kind of.
This was 78.
Okay.
So it'd been around, so it's 4 years old. And the biggest thrill was the musical guests. Were the Rolling Stones.
Oh, wow.
So I was there backstage with the Rolling freaking Stones.
Wow. Well, first off,
I was young.
What was it like working with John Belushi, number one?
They were incredible. The only one was a little standoffish, to tell you the truth, was Gilda Radner, but that didn't mean anything. I think she's just involved.
In the moment.
Yeah, and she really didn't like the newcomers. But everybody else was a lot of fun, and Belushi was wild. Everything you expect.
Yeah.
You know, Chevy Chase was a little standoffish, but I'll tell you what, when they said action, these people were brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
No. Yeah, no, and I could see that. I have some friends I've been on through the years, and they always tell me these stories of like how again, it's a crazy moment, especially when you're live. So you go from that, and then you do stuff like General Hospital,
uh-huh.
Hill Street Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then
that was my big thrill, Hill Street Blues, because I loved that show. And I had first come to Los Angeles.
Dun.
Yeah, it was my first gig.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I got my favorite show. I got...
That was the one.
Guest star on that.
And that was the ones when primetime television was great. And I used to do that same thing when you would watch something and you would think... I remember... Doing that, I remember my first job was on a show called China Beach with David Delaney,
yeah.
and I played Archie Winslow on that. But I remember seeing the TV guides,
yeah,
and I remember seeing. I'm a visualist. I don't know if you like.
Yes.
I would see something, and then in my mind I would think of. So I remember seeing a picture of like Dana Delaney in a TV guide, and I go, oh, she's so cute.
Yeah.
And then I go, I would love to work, but I was not really. I was just starting.
And
then my first job, Warner gave me my first SAG card and everything. To play the son Dodger, which is Jeff Kober's son, and then here I was, you know, next to Dana Delaney.
Oh.
So, which is kind of, and that
yes.
was my first time kind of visualizing something and it happening. And then I think the second time, not segue, but was ER.
So
that was during the George Clooney times, and I just remember visualizing like my name and the credit somehow, whatever reason, and then. Flash forward, and here I, you know, was doing an episode.
Wow, you've done so much.
But
I've got to learn how to visualize. Everyone tells me that works. I've never done
that. Well, and this is why it comes to you. Okay, so let's go from Hill Street Blues. You get on Friday the 13th.
Well, no, but I had done things in between, and I had done General Hospital. Oh. I was only supposed to be on GH for, I think it was, I don't know, a month or two, and I was on 6 months.
Wow.
So they killed me off, but I extended the part as much as I could.
Awesome. Okay, so in between that, before, let's get to Friday, before we get to Friday the 13th, what happened?
Do you remember the Cannon films, all those kind of like B-movies?
The Cannonball?
Cannon.
Oh, yeah, Cannon. Cannon.
I forget their names. Yeah, yeah. Golden Globus did Cannon films. So I did one of those, and I play a junkie, and it's a movie about a rock group.
Yeah, yeah.
Young rock group in Tucson, and they come to Hollywood, and they get all screwed up, and of course that was my part. I screwed everybody up. They come to Hollywood, and I'm the junkie turning everybody on to, heroin.
Well, wait, what was that movie called?
Thunder Alley.
Thunder Alley.
So okay. Leif Garrett, if anyone remembers him, was the lead in it, and he played the rock star.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of people. A guy from Porky's, Roger Wilson, was also the lead. And I kill him. I shoot him up, and there were a bunch of people in it. Jill Sholin, she's gone on to do a bunch of things. And so Thunder Alley was a big B movie that had some great music.
Yeah.
And I was the killer.
That's awesome. Well, and it's interesting because when you say B movies, even back then, those movies circulated a lot on videos and all that stuff. So, and I think to an average moviegoer, I don't think people viewed it as a B or whatever. They just saw, if it was a movie, they just saw it. They just watched it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then there's some movies. I don't know if you remember a movie called Rad, the bicycle, but I had Bill Allen on here.
Uh-huh.
And that movie, in theory, was a lower budget film, but it was because it didn't do well in the box office, but it was like the number one rental for years.
Sure.
Like there's all the kids that rode BMX bikes and all that stuff. And it's interesting, it had like a lifespan of like decades, and he's still like amazed of how many fans come up to him about, like, he's like, oh, I became a biker because of you. And so movies that you talk about, mm-hmm. is like, in your eyes, it's a B movie, but then sometimes they have these strong fan bases, you know, like that could,
well, also in that day they made a point to tell you, especially if they were putting you down, to say, well, it's a B movie, you know. That's where I heard the term, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they would say, you were in that B movie. Oh, okay.
Well, and then also, then the term independent didn't even, like, because in theory, a lot of indies sometimes are considered B movies, but the term independent didn't become cool until, like, I would say Tarantino time or
Kevin
Smith. So, I mean, because everything else was called B movies.
They didn't.
Like Roger Corman films and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, like, when Tarantino came out on the scene and independent movies became a thing, but I'm like going, when I'm on an independent set, I go, this is kind of like a B movie kind of set, you know. You don't got,
it just sounds better.
It just sounds better. Yeah, yeah. So that's the kind of where I've seen that kind of transition. But anyways, but so you got to do that.
Well, then I have a bunch of indies coming out. We can talk.
No, but it was cool. I mean, and I think again, you come from a time where, like I said, a lot of those movies that there's a generation that just thinks, oh, those are cool. They're not looking at it as A or B or whatever. They just, like, those are just titles.
Thank God.
So then from that, flash forward, so you get into Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. So that was, this is where it comes a visualist, which I'll explain in a bit. But so that was, I would say, something where I first got introduced to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing it. I believe my older sister took me, my next door neighbor, best friend, to the drive-in, and I forget whatever movie it was. Yeah, the drive-in theater. And I forget what other movie was before that, because I remember this was like, there was like always like a PG or family film before, and then it was like an R film.
Wow.
And so I didn't want to see it, in the sense, because it was a scary movie, and I knew it was scary. And it's interesting, because like then scary was probably like that. Now it's like even more horrific. There's a little more horrific. But I just remember being scared. But I'll be honest with you, when you came on screen, I was like, who is this? I thought, and I was probably like, I don't know, a young kid. I was like, wow. I thought you were one of the most beautiful women to ever come on the screen.
Aww.
And I just had the biggest crush. And I'll say this to you and for person. I literally had the biggest, and for all these years, I always compared you as the lead, like as a, what they call now scream queens, as the lead actress to any horror film. I always said, oh, that they're not like Melanie Kennedy. Like, she was I thought you were the most prettiest girl on screen. And I always thought, like, I always compared every other lead screen queen, especially in horror. I always flash back to, oh, she was just the one that stole my heart, so to speak. So I'm just letting you know that. I don't care.
You make me cry.
But no, seriously, I literally thought you were the most beautiful thing on screen. But that's what helped me watch that movie. Okay. And so, meaning like, I was like, oh, I was just more like, when is she coming on?
Like, so I corrupted you into horror.
Wow. In a way. And so, but it was interesting because it's not my favorite genre, but anytime I, dated a girl that was in the horror, like I love watching them. Don't get me wrong. I love watching horror with somebody. But I can't watch it by myself.
No.
So if I go home, I probably won't watch a movie by myself that's a horror. But if I have like a girlfriend or whoever, yeah, or just whatever, I could, or a friend's over, I could watch that. But I love the screaming. I love that. But you were the you were the first introduction to me into the horror franchise, wow, or especially the Friday the 13th. So thank you for that.
I corrupted you.
But you literally were you.
I'm like a gateway drug. Yeah.
But so what was it like? You played Pam, yeah, in Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. So obviously, for those that that are not familiar, but there's obviously four before that.
Yeah.
That were very successful.
Yes.
And then, so you get this gig, you already knew you were going on this big train, so to speak.
I had no idea.
You had no idea. So you never watched the other ones before? Wow.
As a matter of fact, when I got cast, I said, I need to see what happened before this. So Paramount took me into the studio and showed me part four. Because I hate horror movies. Yeah. I shouldn't say that, but I hate them, and so I don't see them. And so I had no idea that this was a big franchise. So having seen part four, it was easier for me to kind of get into.
Yeah.
But it's, in hindsight, I think it was much better that I didn't know anything.
Okay.
Because it might have shifted what I did or my performance or made me nervous. I was clueless, so therefore I was free to do, mm-hmm, whatever I did and brought to it without any past, yeah, kind of,
Yeah, and did you know that that character or that movie itself would last, the kind of impact you had, not just on myself, but for so many, decades, so to speak, but also years, and that I see the fan base that, that you have, and it's
stunning. It shocked me. I had no idea. I was happy because this was a Paramount film and, yeah, I had the lead.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was up and coming, so I needed the work, and this was a big, yeah, deal to me. But I didn't know that the film was a big deal or that the franchise was. And that I remember we went to the opening, we got invited to the premiere in Westwood, fabulous theater. Yeah. And the place was packed.
Wow.
Packed. You couldn't get in. Outside was packed, the inside, and the curtain came up and the audience went nuts.
Wow.
And that's when I said, this is a big deal.
And when did you know it was an impact to fans? Was there a point, aside from the beginning, but years down the road, when, mm-hmm, did you know it was something that meant a lot? I mean, to people that, because I know you told me off the air before when I first met you, you said that you've got a lot of fans that tell me.
Oh, like, my God. Well, I didn't know because I didn't do conventions. There's fan conventions that people line up and they pay you money, and I just thought it was creepy, so I didn't want to take people's money. So I didn't do them. They'd been going on for years and years and years. And the reason I got into them was people were emailing me and sending me these pictures, holding them up, and they had this fake signature on it, and they said, I paid $100 for this. Is this you? I said, what? So I was clueless. I did not know that people were getting scammed.
Wow.
And paying money for my signatures. So I thought, hey, I'm going to start doing this.
Legit. Yeah.
And not charge them an arm and a leg and give them the real deal, authentic signature. Yeah. So that's how I got into it. And I did my first convention. It's a big one called Monster Mania. And that was in New Jersey.
Wow.
And the fans lined up. Anyway, to get to the story, each person that came to my table, some were shaking and crying and telling me what it meant to them. It's a big deal in the gay community.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these kids were gay in school, junior high school, and were bullied, and they somehow were impacted by the final girls, the girls that were the survivors of all this violence coming at you. I don't know how they jumped to that, but they said, when I meet them, they tell me I gave them courage.
Wow.
I gave them a feeling of self-worth, and a survival, and they would go to school and take the bullying and stand up for themselves.
Wow.
That still surprises me, and I still hear it, because I've been doing conventions for about 10 years. Wow. I go all over the world, and I get the same thing. If it could be Germany, London, the fans tell me the same thing.
Wow. Well, and for all those hardcore fans that may be listening in, What would you like to say to them that have been kind of so supportive on your career, like right now? Like if you had a moment to say something to everybody, I know you have those moments, but like maybe now you could reach a lot of people to say, hey, you know, what would you like to tell them?
I tell them to their face, and I tell everybody here that's listening that I am so unbelievably grateful to your constant interest and support of not just me but the others, but personally, you were so supportive and still are of that little film and my little character Pam Roberts and what it meant to you. And it continues. People will bring their grandchildren, you know, so yeah. it's been generations.
Yeah.
And it's meant so much to me.
That's awesome.
I mean, I can never express really what it has meant to me.
So now from doing that movie, obviously, I'm assuming, open doors to other things.
Yes.
So what was it like now going from, you know, doing, you know, plays and then, you know, these stuff like on Saturday Night Live, and then you get this studio movie and then a big fan base and blah, blah, blah. So what was it like difference? So what, can you tell the difference right away? Like when you start auditioning, like going back into the...
Because you start getting into doors, but it was a kind of... bitter pill, because you would get into stuff, but you'd be up against Demi Moore and people like that.
Got it.
And they would go, you'd do a great job, they'd bring you back 5-6, you understand the callbacks, they bring you back, and then they say, well, and then they take a star or an up-and-coming somebody. So I had a lot of that, but I did get to do some more indie stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to work with some great people who were big stars. And then I did some TV. I did Cheers and things like that. Got to work with some of the biggest stars. I did some pilots. You know what that is. And that was all from Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have gotten that stuff without it.
And you know, it's interesting now, like for me, there's a generation that grew up. And then like for me, like I segued also from acting, then started producing my own films and directing. Mm-hmm. There's a generation now that, in my opinion, would hire people that they grew up with as fans. And then they're like, I did that. I remember one of my first movies I produced, Erin Gray. I was a big fan of from Silver Spoons, Buck Rogers.
She's nice, yeah.
And one of my first movies I got greenlit, I get a call and, you know, it's Erin Gray, whatever. It's like, I'd love to audition for you. And I'm like, going for this movie. And I'm like, going, Erin Gray? From like, I go, I was your big, I go, you could have the role. I go, you could have the, you know, an audition. Like, and it was like stuff because those were people I admired.
Yes.
And there's people that I, you know, that I've gotten to work with through the years that were people that I grew up with that I admired or respected, and mm-hmm. then I would just like, I don't even know if that, you could just have the role kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think you're in this position where like there is a group or there's these people that would just want to work with you because of, you know, that's
because
you
that.
Inspire them.
I can tell you what happened, that it's kind of out there in the internet, people know, and there were some court cases, but. What happened to me was after I was successful in Friday 13th and it came out and I started to, my career started to propel and go, I was brought in an audition for Harvey Weinstein.
Hmm.
And Harvey brought me into a second time.
Wow, okay.
And that was a very bad experience.
Oh, wow.
And I was alone with him, and what I thought was an audition was not. And I remember being so excited going to this audition at Miramax, and I bought this dress I couldn't afford, and I was wearing that dress, and I was ready, I was getting ready to read, and he walked over, and he grabbed the dress from the bottom and just ripped it with one hand off my body. And of course, you go into shock.
Wow.
So I kept it together, and I said, I picked up my dress, and I said, I need to leave. I need to leave. And he stood at the door, and he was very big.
Yeah.
And he blocked me from the door. So he said, you need to get a sense of humor. Don't do this. And I said, I need to leave now.
Wow.
And he said, if you leave and you tell somebody, you're done.
Wow.
So I left. I remember the secretary looking at me funny because I was half dressed. And I went home, and I thought, and I don't even remember driving home. That's what shock I was in. And I got home, and I thought, well, what do I do? I wanted to call Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
Instead, I called my agent, told them what happened, and they said, number one, you can never tell anybody, because he's the most powerful guy.
Yeah.
I said, I want to report it to Screen Actors Guild. No, you can't. And then he asked me, because it was a male agent, he asked me, But what did you do to provoke that? Yeah. So to make the story faster, I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And he still blacklisted me for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, first off, sorry to hear that. And you're such a wonderful human being that it's just sad to hear that. And I wasn't expecting to go into that, but there, and I'm glad you kind of, you know, let our audiences know that.
Well, I want people to know why there was a big gap. Yeah. Because I don't usually tell it. I did tell it in court.
And, yeah.
But there was a big gap of my prime that got taken. The only people that Universal wouldn't hire me, Warner Brothers, the only people that hired me was Paramount.
Mm.
And that's how I got Cheers. Yeah. They didn't blacklist me. So I did get work, but it was always indie that had no, because he had a very long arm, he could reach people, and Paramount. So I love Paramount to this day.
Well, one of my biggest mentors was Howard Kotz, who was from Paramount. And so I have a big fondness for Paramount as well. But that just also shows you loyalty in general in the industry, but also that how much strength you've also built and you know, things like that. You know, you learn from, but also there's also people right now, like I think like myself, hopefully, that you know that, you know, care about you as a human being, but also just, you know, admire not only your strength, your courage, but also just you as a human. And, you'll see, obviously, it's evident what happened to certain people that you just talked about. And so it catches up to them. So some people that think that they're getting away for it. It all catches up to them.
It took a long time, though. He had a long reach for 20 years, but he's not the only one.
Yeah.
But somebody, I don't normally talk about it. I had to in the past, but I just want people to know what that gap was, because you brought up, it must have propelled you to go to a lot of auditions and get stuff. He had a very long reach.
Yeah. Well, first off, I want to appreciate you even sharing that story, because there's you never know. There's a lot of people that listen
suffered.
To this, and then and also, you know, I'm not alone.
That's it.
And so you're not only a strength on screen, but also in person that, hey, you know what? And you're still here. And here's the thing.
That's it.
That's just a remarkable story, but not only that, but you're just one of the sweetest human beings. Even when I first met you, I just saw how you were, and then you had me introduce me to one of your co-stars from that movie, and it was a selfless act. You're like, hey, you want to interview him? And it wasn't like about yourself, and you were just generous, and that's what made me just fall in love even more as a human being. And just so you know that, I'm telling you that from the heart.
That.
And so let's go on the lighter note. So tell audience what's going on with you now and what you got going on, because you got a lot going on as well. And we'd love to help promote anything going on, because I know time is going quick now.
So I did two independent horror movies. One is called The Once in Future Smash. I do it's a documentary within a documentary, and I'm parodying myself.
Wow.
Pam Roberts.
Wow.
So I talk about how much as myself, but I talk about how much I hate horror. And the one I just did, I'm kind of excited about it. It's not out yet. I'm not sure of the working title, but that one I get to play a CNN reporter, and I'm one of the leads, and it's really kind of funny. It's a horror movie, but I'm like the comic relief, but I'm a very serious reporter.
What are you able to tell the titles of the films?
The Once in Future Smash is the one that's out now. The one that we just wrapped, I don't know what the title is he's going to use.
Okay.
But it was under the... It was called Spill Your Guts, but he's not going to use it.
Okay, got it. Because it says here on IMDb, Spill Your Guts 2, but it's probably the awesome. So the Once in Future Smash is out, and you could find that where? How could they just...
I'm not sure. I think they're streaming it, and I think it's on Amazon and a few other things. I should have looked into that.
That's okay. Okay, and let me see here. Let me see if I could find it here. But anyways, it's Once in
Future... But it just came out. Okay. Just. So people will be able to find it.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so the movie, if you want to check it out, it's called The Once and Future Smash, which is out there, and it's directed by Sofia Coppola.
Yeah.
Coppola?
Yep.
And Michael J. Epstein?
Yep.
And then that's awesome. I'm trying to see if there's anyone I happen to know in this.
You might know. There are a lot of horror stars in that film.
That's awesome.
With me, yeah. A lot of people you might
know. Yeah. Actually, yeah, I am looking at here. But so it's out there now if you're going to check it out. Oh, Lorraine Landon.
Yes.
I know Lorraine. Lorraine's been on here, and
cool.
Yeah, she's a dear friend of mine. That's awesome. So you got that, and then the new one, which is don't know the title yet, speak. That's going to be coming out.
Yep.
And now let's put this out there now, since we're now ahead
Okay.
In the present day, what kind of movies would you love to do, and what kind of characters or who would you like to work with?
Oh God, I'd like to work with Kevin Costner.
Okay.
I'd love to work with still our favorite Dick Van Dyke, because he's still working. I love that.
Yeah.
I think George Clooney's interesting. There's just so many. Look, I just want to work, so I'll work with anybody.
What is there a particular kind of character you'd love to do? Because I
like comedy, because I've never been seen in it, and I'm really good at it. But I also like suspense.
Okay.
You know, not gore, just suspense on the edge of your seat kind of thing.
Mm.
I love that.
So do you like dramas?
I love dramas. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Because I'd love to work with you sometime.
I love the twists and turns of stuff. You know,
that's awesome.
Where you're the whole time you're streaming it, and you get to episode 9, and it changes. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I know time is running by, but obviously. So, how could people check you out? You got social medias, websites, all that kind of good stuff.
Yes, I'm on probably the same as you: Facebook, Instagram. I'm not on Threads yet because I've got just too much going on, and X. And I'm doing conventions around the country. I'm doing one on Friday the 13th next month.
Okay.
September 13th.
September 13th. On Friday the 13th.
On Friday the 13th and 14th. And I'm there with my killer, the Jason from Part 5. Mm. And we're going to be at Monroe Comic-Con in Monroe, Michigan.
And what's a Comic-Con, that one called?
It's just called Monroe Comic-Con.
Oh, Monroe Comic-Con?
And it's huge, but they have the horror section, and then they've got wrestlers. They've got all kinds of stuff.
So Monroe Comic-Con, September 13th and 14th.
In Monroe, Michigan.
In Monroe, Michigan. Awesome. And then your social medias are, what is it?
I'm on Instagram. It's Screen Siren 5. Facebook is just Melanie Kinnaman. And
so Screen Siren 5.
Yep.
Where'd you get that name? Just curiosity.
I was growing up, and my mother used to say, "That's a screen siren," about these old stars, you know, movie stars. And I say, I want to be a screen siren. So I never forgot that. And when I had to name my company, because I was producing, I had a rock band that I was the lead in. Anyway, when I was producing, I took the Screen Siren Inc.
That's
where I got it.
And then 5, is that from Friday 13th?
Yes.
Okay. So that's awesome. So at Screen Siren 5 over on Instagram, and then Melanie Kinnaman over on Facebook.
And then X, I think, is Screen Siren 5 too. Yeah.
Awesome. So again, you got the Once and Future Smash, and you got an upcoming as of now.
Spill Your Guts 2,
which is probably going to be a different title. And then you got the horror conventions coming up. And again, you can check out. Do you do schedules on your socials and all that?
Yeah, I do it all. Awesome. So people can find out.
And what's the biggest, let's say, takeaway from fans that you've come across with, that you meet, obviously you told me people, is there anything, one memorable moment that you, aside from what you just mentioned, of a fan experience that you've had?
God, I was in London and a guy brought this little tiny baby, and I'm thinking, you really shouldn't have a baby in pub, and he had me sign the baby's leg.
Wow. Okay. The tattoo.
That creeped me out.
Have you seen people like with photos of you, and I saw, is there like a doll of you somewhere?
I have a doll.
Did someone make that, or is that out there?
Barbie made a doll.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wait, they did make a doll.
I should have brought my doll in, because out. It's with a chainsaw, removable chainsaw.
I would love one. I thought I saw one on the internet. I thought someone like custom made that.
But no, I'm waiting for them to release it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I get one signed?
I will absolutely give you one.
Yeah. I love collecting stuff.
And they have cool box. It comes in a cool box that has my name and
photo. Oh, that's awesome.
And she's got a chainsaw and has glitter on it. It's
literally. That is awesome. Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. Well, I want to say this show, obviously, you've been inspired. We want to wrap things up here.
Okay.
This show is ultimately on inspiring others. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there, Melanie Kinnaman, that maybe wants to become an actress like yourself, or maybe just follow their dreams in general?
Right. Follow. That's it. Follow your dreams. Find something that gives you joy.
Mm-hmm.
Just find something that gives you joy, feeds your spirit. People tell you can't do it. Just stick with it, because I'm telling you, if you stick with it and you have self-confidence, that's number one. Don't let anybody take that away from you. You will do it. I'm still here, and I've had a bunch of stuff happen. But if you want it badly enough and it gives you happiness, it will work.
Mm, awesome. Well, I want to say thank you for coming. I know time flew by.
I
literally adore. I love you. You're such an awesome human being. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
So are you.
And, you're always welcome back. And again, so check out Melanie Kinnaman. Go on her socials. It's Melanie Kinnaman on Facebook, or at Scream Siren 5, mm-hmm. and then check out the Once and Future Smash, and then also, as of now, I Spill Your Guts 2, which probably change the title, and then the Monrovia.
Monroe Comic Con, and that's in Monroe, Michigan.
September,
it's near Detroit.
September 13th yes. and 14th. And any special shout-outs you want to give out to somebody? Any special shout-outs?
Just to all the fans. Okay. The fans have made my life.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Melanie Kinneman. It's great to have you on here finally. And then, I want to say God bless you and all that you do. And then thank you for just being an awesome human being.
Thank you.
And then God bless you guys all. I like to end off my show again thanking you all. Let me know what you think. And then, we didn't even get to do music. Time went by. We normally do a music break, but we normally we normally do a music break. But you know what? I got so caught up with guys. I'll be doing the music in the next time. But again, this was such a great show, and that's how interested I was of not that I'm not interested in my other guests, but I literally forgot to do a music song today. But so guys, I'll try to make it up for you guys the next time. But again, thank you guys. God bless you guys all. And like the end of my show, Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible, and we are out. Bye-bye.
Bye.